This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Carm Capriato, Town Hall Academy, week 323. We're talking alignments. The rest of the world may say, what the hell did you do picking that panel to come on this show, Carm? I mean, this is going to be either great, it's going to be wild, or it's going to be unkept, and I'm not even sure I can corral this team. Joe Anson, Gordy's Garage, three locations out of Roseville, Michigan. Hello, Joe.
How are you doing?
Well, good, buddy. Joe was with me in episode 303. What is that? Some like 20 weeks ago when we were talking return on investment for alignments. So thank you for doing that. Now you're coming back for a reprise. It's always great to get the $50 check from you, Joe, and always have you on again. So thank you for that.
Anytime.
Justin Allen is with us. Hunter Engineering. Hello, Hunter. Hello, Hunter. Wait a minute. Justin, I think your email says Hunter in it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Right. Good afternoon, team.
Good to have you here. I think he knows a little bit about alignments, just a little. Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan. Hey, Bill.
Gentlemen.
Good to have you here, guys. You know, we are the best kept secret in the automotive industry for personal networking. So glad to have you here. Thanks. And high fives to our great partners that bring you the Town Hall Academy each and every week. Hey, deliver cars to clients faster so they get their wheels sooner and you save valuable time at the front counter. With remote payments, you also get your money sooner without having to chase down your debts. Your debts, isn't that something? Chase down my debts. Get Uncle Louie to help you. It's just another reason to get Shopware.com. And my great friends over at Delphi, you know, trust in the aftermarket supplier that makes the parts that cars are born with. Always knew that about Delphi. With over 100 years of OE heritage, Delphi Technologies quality parts gives you peace of mind. Learn more. DelphiAftermarket.com. Okay, gang, where this whole topic came up is at one of our networking meetings here in the Buff. Tracy and I go each and every month and we hang out. We're honored to be part of this independent group. Discussion on alignments and is it taking too long? Are we charging enough? Came up. And Justin, I would love to have you start since you sell this equipment for a living. What do you hear out in the field and or are you encouraging people to get better training, find the right technician who really understands alignments, how to sell at the counter, and you may need to charge a little bit more?
You know, that is an ongoing conversation. There's so many angles to what you just threw out there. I can tell you in Western North Carolina, because I'm in and out of about, let's say, 250 to 300 different shops, the diversity and the range of what people are charging, how they're going about it, their level of technician training, all of those things. It's such a wide open opportunity, if you ask me. I think a lot of people aren't charging enough is why I say that, because there's a lot more involved in it. Their technicians, unfortunately, are learning from a guy who learned from a guy who learned from a guy in a lot of cases. It's a wide open opportunity for people to set themselves apart as the guy who's doing it the best. That's my take.
Guys, I got to tell you something. Back in the day, I don't know if it was 20, 25 years, even 30 years ago. Didn't Hunter have a Hunter training in St. Louis? Am I right?
Oh, sure. Actually, yeah. Right now, Hunter has over 40 different locations all over the country. We try to be very intentional about making that available to our users and the general public, for sure.
And think about that long ago, Bill, Joe, that technicians were so proud to go to the Hunter Training Center to learn about alignments. Do you think the vehicle is just slightly different? So my next question, Joe, Bill, Justin, are enough techs getting out to those training centers to learn as much as they can?
I don't think so. The pace at what technology's changing in the cars, I don't know how you can get enough training, to be honest. I mean, it's almost like technicians have to specialize in a way because there's so much new technology out there. How can you know it all, right? So
constantly evolving, for sure.
Yeah. How about more importantly, Joe, that the fact that they're not going there, why are they not going there? Which is a topic in and of itself for another day. The shop doesn't want to pay for it. The technician thinks he's the one or she's the one that has to pay for it. The shop owner thinks that if the tech leaves the shop, leaves those four walls, and they go off to a training center, God forbid they might find new equipment, new ways of doing things, they may not come back.
Yeah.
It's a whole other topic for a whole other time. And might I just say here, as we roll along, for me, I will learn less. Justin Allen has forgotten more about the alignment business than I will ever learn or care to learn. I'm a business owner. I look at these things through the front counter. And how do I sell this amazing value? How many times have I said this, Carm? We work on the most complicated consumer product man has ever created. And the people that have to work on it is the most complicated machine that God has ever created on this Good Friday, on this great Good Friday. How do we translate that information? And so for me, that's sort of when I reached out to you, is what we need. And by the way, I will be acting as a devil's advocate. There's no better fan. Between me and Joe, I don't know if there's a better Hunter retail shops out there. Everything I own is Hunter, not just because of the superior product, but the people that stand behind it. When I want to get a hold of my Hunter rep, within a half an hour, he's on the phone with me, letting me know not only if he can get to me today or not. There's times when he's bailed me out, just telling, you know, all you had to do is blow out this hole in the machine and you got dust there and it takes care of it. Here's somebody that could make hundreds of dollars on that service call, but he gets me out of that jam because he knows I'm running a business like he's running a business. So as we go back and forth with some of this stuff, I hope that no one mistakes. No, I don't want any hate mail about Hunter. I am the biggest Hunter fan out there. Enough for that.
Heard and understood.
Yeah. There you go.
I took all the sale out of Joel's.
No, not at all. I'm a Hunter fan too.
He's ready.
Well, this isn't a Hunter show, but thank you for your support of Hunter and the fact that you've got great equipment out there. But here comes the customer and we're saying, listen, you got new tires. We've got to do an alignment. And typically, I think the consumer realizes that an alignment hangs out there with tires for all the right reasons that I think as an industry we've known for the last, 80 years. We know that those are married together. But did we ever sell alignments as a maintenance thing every 2 or 3 years?
We're guilty of not doing that. We probably should have. Since we introduced the Hunter lane check in one of our shops, though, it kind of goes hand in hand because you can't get into the building without going through it. So we're finding that I think it was 61% of the cars coming through needed an alignment, and then we're able to close a good majority of those sales on that. So I think that process will drive maintenance sales. I don't think that just saying, hey, we need to sell it as a maintenance product or a maintenance service that we're going to get there. Because I just don't think we're going to get there. I think we need to have really strong SOPs or an operating procedure, and we need to have the equipment to back that up. That for us, we find that in the shop that we have the Hunter lane check, we sell a heck of a lot. Not just more alignments, because that shop has higher car count, but we sell a lot more percentage of alignments compared to car count. And that's only because we're checking every single one of them. So to your point, Carm, yeah, I think we need to sell more maintenance, but I don't think it's going to be done when you have to pull the car on the rack each time, roll it. Even though it's fast, it's just not normal, part of the normal operating procedure. It's an extra step.
I don't want to belabor the last show that we did. That was, 303? Please go to the website, type in 303. Look at that. Joe brought a lot of stats. He brought charts and graphs as to how that piece of alignment equipment really helped him. Do consumers today need to have that printout or that report in order for them to believe you're not selling?
I don't know if they need to, but I don't think it hurts. With ours, we have the board, and so they see it. But then we also take a picture during our vehicle inspection, and it goes out to them when they get there. We take a picture of the results. And as we send them the results of the overall inspection that we do in the vehicle, it's in there, so they see it there too, if they're not available at the time we write them up to show them the immediate results. So I don't think you have to have a printout, but why not? I mean, it's there. We don't have to have a printout for brakes either, or a picture. But when we started showing them pictures of brake inspections and the results of them, our close rate did increase. I don't know the exact percent, but it increased.
Yeah. What I really like about what Joe's telling us from my angle, right, is that Joe is just reiterating everything that we say as a company of what to expect and what you're going to see happen with these cars that you're checking. Like Joe mentioned, whether you're checking them, just quickly putting them on the rack and rolling it or whatever, the point is that the ratio of cars on the road that need that service all the time is astounding. It's a huge number. And that's just potholes and bad condition roads and people hitting curbs or bumper stops. All of that stuff creates that opportunity all the time. And when it's interesting from our angle as business owners, it's an opportunity. From a customer's perspective, I mean, they're just constantly chewing up tires. And a lot of them, they only think of an alignment as, is my steering wheel straight? That's really right. Kind of their only perception of it. But when 60% of them are in some form or another out of adjustment, customers don't even realize how bad it is, oftentimes until once you've corrected it.
Well, how do you know what that looks like? You're in North Carolina, for God's sakes. Me and Joe are in Michigan. We're in the prime alignment capital of the world here.
I will say that I love for my clients down here that we're not dealing with rust like you guys are, right?
What I was going to say is, it's by no accident. It's funny how Joe and I are on this episode. Remember the last time we did one on getting out of the regular oil change business, Carm?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the process of taking a customer, educating them past the nonsense of 1995 oil changes, not just the customer, but the shop owner, how incredibly destructive and how undermining that entire business model is when you're trying to bottom feed your way to the top of the mountain? And so By no accident do Joe and I have the same mentality when it comes to alignments. We have to re-educate not just the customers, but the typical shop owner. That's, unfortunately, that's Justin's job here, to educate the typical shop owner to get the hell out of the front-wheel drive, the two-wheel alignment business, to get out of this nonsense of, we'll check your vehicle out for free. If it rolls, then we're good. You don't owe us anything here. This vehicle needs a proper vehicle inspection. Just like before we do an oil change, we have to do a DVI to verify that the vehicle is safe to drive. In my business, I will not do an oil change on a customer's vehicle if that vehicle is deemed to have a fuel leak or some safety issue or ball joint ready to fall off the car. I want nothing to do if I can't explain to that customer how the cheapest way to keep him alive and to keep my business in running is for us to make sure that he or she is driving a safe car. If we can't even get past that point at the counter, why in the world would we want to go to the next level, which would lead to invariably a one-star review? Why would we do that? So to the same effect here, when we're dealing with alignments, we have to educate folks that an alignment isn't just setting toe and camber and caster anymore. You've got ADOS that's in there, that if you are in a situation where in Michigan, you're driving along and all of a sudden you hit an ice patch and that vehicle wasn't, the steering angle sensor wasn't set right. All of a sudden the vehicle is going to steer you off the road and you're like, what just happened here? Well, your alignment wasn't done properly. And what are the ramifications from an insurance standpoint here? What's going to happen when we find out that, I don't know, 60, 70% of alignments that either don't have the proper equipment or don't have the proper people trained to handle the equipment, these alignments aren't being done properly because it's sort of set and go to the next level. The next generation of, what do they call it? Set and
toe and go.
Toe and go? Toe and go. We've got to get out of that mentality. That's got to change.
It was a can of worms that you just opened, Bill, and I think it's critical that we talk about this stuff. Recently, I was at the meeting and someone said, well, the thrust angle, Carm, I mean, if you, the whole ADAS thing, and you said it, somebody's going to realize one day that, you know, this car is not doing its right thing. Someone doesn't pay attention and there's an accident. And I was in Cleveland yesterday. Guy comes up to me and we're just talking shop and he says, I bet you the insurance company knows so much about what's not being done correctly on a vehicle. And one day they're going to have to open up and talk about it.
How is that professional? And these topics come up over and over again, leaving customers' keys in under the floor mats and the customer comes and picks up the car. What do you say to your insurance agent when the vehicle's missing the next day? And so what do? We get people like Steve Cipitone from 360 Payments and they develop a product where you can text message and you can get your invoice paid and the lockbox. There's a whole process in which we do that. It's time for alignments to go in that direction too. And it's incumbent on all of us, not just the people making the great equipment and servicing it. Shop owners like Joe and I have to start helping other shop owners say, dude, let's get with the program here because you're hurting us enough already with technicians that have got to spend an hour on a vehicle because we don't have the problem. As I see it, is what I'm hoping Hunter can help me with is we need you to be able to reach out to our shopwares, to our tech metrics, to be able to get them that information. So that at the write-up, we have a tiered alignment job costing, whatever you'd want to call that. Because as it stands right now, I know a premium alignment is for that Mercedes and that BMW, and a run-of-the-mill alignment is for that, you know, 2019 Chevy Malibu. But in between there, there's a lot of these vehicles that require a scanner and 45 minutes of drive time and all this other stuff because there are different systems that are at play. And so how do I sell that to the customer after we brought them in for $140, $150 alignment? It's too late. And so you think you learn from that. And so if there's a database now so that a service advisor can pull this up and say, okay, this is clearly going to be a level 2 alignment, a level 3 alignment, just like we do with diagnostics, right?
Yeah, but Bill, I'll be the devil's advocate to you then. Do you think that's possible? Because we've been talking about, you're almost talking about diagnostic time. You're almost, it's the same concept. Like some shops charge, some shops give it away. I mean, you get one-star reviews on that. So they wanted to charge me $150. I just got one the other day. They wanted to charge me $150 to, you know, diagnose my car, went down the street and someone did it for $50. We've been talking about testing and diagnosing. And do we say diagnose? Do we say test? Do we, you know, how long? But 15 years we've been talking about this and it still has not been resolved. So to that point about the alignment, you know, having different levels and tiers and pricing models or whatever. I think it just all comes down to having talented service advisors that have been trained properly and they can work through that. I don't think we're ever going to get that shop down the street to do what we're wanting them to do. It's their shop. They're going to do what they want to do. There's always going to be shops. There's always going to be backyard mechanics that undervalue their service. And I think we'd spend more time and energy trying to change them than we would in just educating our advisors and knowing that if we just live by our core values and be transparent with the customer and give them the service that we know that they need and charge them accordingly, I think we're better off spending that energy on that, on what we can control. Because those other shop owners, that's just what they do. I mean, that's maybe they don't want to be educated. Maybe they want to run their shop that way. And you know, that's fine. I don't. I want to run it the way I want to run it and run it like you run yours, Bill. And I think we focus on that, put the energy into that, our educating our advisors, our technicians. We haven't even talked about the fact that ADAS and alignment technology today is, it's really cool. It's really neat. What about an opportunity to bring in the next generation and teaching them, in addition to show them this technology, teach them the proper alignment, how to do a proper alignment, how to properly, you know, service ADAS and calibrate targets. I mean, that stuff is so cool. I get excited about it. That's a whole nother way to bring these young guys in and gals into the industry and show them that, hey, this is fun to do. Justin, you probably talk to that a lot. I mean, the technology that's coming out and how it can spark the interest in the younger generation.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And let's real fast say thank you, Nick, in England. Thank you, Kieran, for saying hello. And Leslie White, absolutely accurate about printouts and DVIs. We love that. And then Tracy Hicks just brought up something to Bill, to your point. And Joe, I hope you've encountered it so far. Any Hunter user has access to our HunterNet system.
Yep.
And while for decades, Hunter Engineering Company has provided a printed book of what kind of adjustments were necessary, how you would go about doing that, what kind of aftermarket parts you'd be looking for, all of that kind of stuff that has now gone online. I think the 2024 year is the first year that it'll be fully online so that Hunter users have an account, their access to that, so that your service advisors at the front desk indeed will be able to pull up visual aids right there, showing them exactly what is expected in terms of that car safety system alignment when it's done, and all that kind of data. Because Bill, you're absolutely right. And this has been the Wild West for a couple of years here, with things moving so quickly that anybody trying to keep up with the demands of ADAS and how we're trying to be sure whether or not we have to reset. How on earth do we reset? Does a car reset itself? What do we charge to do that? There's been so much motion all of the time. Hunter Engineering Company is constantly trying to streamline that process as much as we can. And until the day comes that that gets standardized in some way, which it may never, we're going to keep fighting the good fight to try to make sure that we stay up on top of that stuff for folks.
Yeah. Ideally, Justin, what I would want is for Hunter, because I'm a Hunter client, what I would ideally want would be for Hunter to say to me, this is a, let's say, a tier level one. So with our current equipment, with all of the Hunter tooling that we give you when we set you up, this is a, let's call it a run-of-the-mill vehicle. This is an alignment that you could get done between a half hour to 45 minutes, typically speaking. Where we find holes in the, either in the database or in the hardware, then what I would want is for Hunter to say, okay, this is a, what we'd call a level two. You might want to charge rack time for that because it's going to require a factory tool to get in there and a half hour test drive because this particular system is that way. If I have that information, if I can access that in my shop management system, as I'm answering a customer and they say, how much for an alignment on my vehicle? The first answer is going to be, we need to get the vehicle in for a pre-alignment inspection first.
Right, of course. Right.
But I would also want to know at that point in time, if the customer says, well, just give me a number off the hand. If this is a $150 alignment, I want to be able to say that. If on the other hand, this is a higher tier alignment, I want to be able to explain why that's the case and warn the customer so that if they're calling around town and somebody gives them the $79 alignment, there's going to be significant costs associated with that if they're messing with something that they clearly should not be doing at this point in time.
Absolutely.
And so the other thing I wanted to answer is Joe said earlier, you know, we can't worry about those. I agree from a practical standpoint. Imagine if the American Medical Association took that thing. We're not going to care about doctors performing surgeries that are not in line with our training and our industry. And so while I agree, Joe, we're not going to change the industry just by talking about this today. But at some point in time, there's going to come a day. And Karma, you'd remember when we had ADAS here. In fact, when we were here in Detroit, Joe, when we had that, Cypher had that class when we did it with Fountain Cars at the airport. Do you remember we were talking about what's going to happen the first time a vehicle kills somebody with ADAS equipment attached to it and somebody in the aftermarket services it? What's the first thing that's going to happen when the manufacturers are going to have the perfect excuse to say, aftermarket isn't ready to service this stuff. We can't trust them with this. And so that's the perfect excuse to jump into Right to Repair Act and all the other nonsense that's going to follow. So my fear is that I know I'm going to be doing it right. I know Joe's going to be doing it right. My fear is that if half of the shops out there aren't doing alignments properly and don't know what they're worth, then alignments are going to be treated like the lost leaders that they are. We're going to do them for free because the supplementary services that we're going to get from them is going to more than pay for the equipment. I want the product, the alignment, to be able to pay for itself on its own. It needs to pay for itself on its own. And then the supplementary services should be. We shouldn't be treating it like we're just going to lose money on this. It somehow, hopefully, it'll pay for itself. Like that R134 UIF machine that we bought 5 years ago that still has yet to pay for it because we thought it was going to come along. It was going to whatever. If it can't make money on its own, then somebody has to be honest with themselves and say, we're just going to lose money on this because we think we're going to make money on the other side of this equation somehow. I just want to throw that out there because I think it's a valid discussion point. In industry, you hear this stuff all the time on forums.
You know, nothing tells a customer they need a new part faster than when they see a worn or broken one in their hands. Now, how do you do that in the digital age? Well, it's actually very easy. Thanks to DVX, you can send photos and videos within its messenger platform. It's like nothing else you've ever seen in an auto repair SMS before. Take the best of an Amazon-like experience and use it in your shop to show customers how great you are. DVX also makes it easy for customers to drop you a quick text or answer in the messenger bubble that arises from the repair order. It's like magic. Customers love seeing what they need to do and giving you a quick answer. You'll see your business's potential right in front of you. Your customers get on with their day, and you get back to the repair. Everybody wins. It's time. Take it from me. GetShopWare.com. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line, and more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. Matt Fonslow on the Aftermarket Radio Network. His episode this week was Internet Access with Tanner Brandt. I'm telling you, everyone in the industry has got to go. Fonslow's episode 77, released this week. And they talked about Autel having to have in one of their latest pieces of equipment is you have to have a login. And the industry went wild about this. Oh, my God. But to the point where everyone is saying, how is the rest of the OEs going to believe that we're qualified, that we have restrictions and it's tight? People can steal the machine, get inside of your world through portals and Wi-Fi, and number one, take your expensive piece of equipment. But if you are integrated without a login, they may be able to go even deeper inside of your SMS, depending on how you've integrated it. So I think, again, everybody goes upheaval to everyone's point here, and then they stop and realize, oh, there's a reason to do all of this. And Justin, you're selling equipment every week. You're helping people upgrade into the alignment business. Are they doing it because the piece is old? Or are they doing it because they want to be able to serve their future customers?
I've been doing this for 12 years out in the field, and most of the time it's just been for the newer version of the technology to be faster and easier to function. But that more and more the conversation now is, yeah, we've got to put ourselves in a position to handle this stuff that's happening with the cars. You know, with every new iteration of our computers and our software and everything we're doing, we're able to, fortunately, the manufacturers release more and more information to us to be able to help with those resets. But we're just finally getting people to acknowledge that it's actually a thing. I mean, I still will have heated discussions, mind you, not heated from my end. I'm cool as a cucumber, but heated discussions from the other end of people saying, why on earth do I have to recalibrate the steering angle sensor? Like that's baby step one in this whole process, right? And people arguing that I shouldn't have to do that. I reset the alignment to factory specs. The steering wheel was installed at the factory. Everything should be right. But I can say this. I know with Bill and Joe here, I'd imagine anybody who has ever gone through the process of recalibrating a steering angle sensor, those things are always off. Those are always off, right?
And it's simple to do.
Yeah. And until you're doing it, you don't realize that, gosh, that actually was a thing. And it's been something we're supposed to be doing for the last 12 years or so. And people still fight that. In other words, ADAS recalibration has to be a part of every conversation when I'm selling equipment now to at least be able to say 6 months or a year later that, hey, I told you it was a thing. You know, I don't care if you bought it or not, frankly, but I told you it was a thing and you need to be preparing for it. It's obviously more of an issue.
Joe, Bill, do you have ADAS calibration in the shop?
What I would know to be level one calibration is your steering angle sensor and proximity and lane keep assist, you know, whatever it'll allow us to do currently. We're still working through, like, one of my concerns, do I need to repeat myself about what a proponent I am of the technology and hunter engineering and all that? My concern is that, let's say you spend 50 grand on this equipment. My biggest fear is it turns into kind of like you buy the equipment and all of a sudden the next generation, and I mean next generation, I mean 2 years, the vehicles start rolling and they have self-calibrating systems on board. And now they're calibrating themselves. What just happened to this investment? I don't mind spending. God knows I've spent money on stuff that just hasn't materialized. We all do. I mean, we're risk takers by, you know, we're going to take risks as small business owners. But it requires us getting together and saying, this is sort of what's coming down the road and this is what you need to be prepared for. And so to me, what I'm not okay with is us selling all this stuff. Everything is gung-ho, EVs. I mean, we're getting into EVs, but are we really going to do this? I mean, is this really going to take over? Do we have enough material out there? Do we think it's going to be 80%, I don't know, mass adoption in 10, 15 years? I don't know. I mean, it's the same thought process about this thing with ADAS. All I care about is getting us to the next level. And to me, the next level is basically being able to explain to a customer is my 2011 Grand Cherokee didn't have that nice little bubble at the bottom of that air dam, right? You go into a parking block, it's $150 alignment. Do that to the 2019 Grand Cherokee and it's $1,000, $2,000. We're in four-digit land, no matter what. And so what I sell in that is that if you're going to get into a newer vehicle, understand what's coming for you. And so that is something that we bring up, practically speaking, when somebody thinks they're going to trade in a really reliable 200,000-mile vehicle that's treated them well, and they think they're going to go out there and get a better vehicle, you know, something with shopping for a Chevy truck. A 2.7-liter four-cylinder engine is going to be driving a full-size Chevy pickup truck. And I know I'm not picking on Chevy, but they're all doing this. And we don't think it's going to cost $2,000 or $3,000 at 80,000 miles for a couple of turbos and then some. Why wouldn't the alignment world be like this? It's getting more complicated on that realm because of ADAS than anything else. So all this is going on. Do we understand that this is happening here? You know, right underneath it, there's a seismic shift happening in the business model, not different than the stuff Joe and I were talking about with getting out of the regular oil change business. Just sell the good stuff and find all of your other customers going away for their sake and for ours. Just do it the right way the first time. Charge good money for good work. And that's the cheapest way that I've found to be able to deliver services. And when I've bought services, whether it was a roofer or a plumber or electrician, when we did our remodel, hire somebody really good, pay them good money, and forget about it. No more problems here. It sounds so simple, and yet everybody's driving at price. How many times does Dustin, how many times do they tell you, oh my God, I could get other alignment equipment for half the price or whatever, as if half the price is half as good.
Yeah, so well, I like to think that half his price is just as good, but go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so that's Bill, you brought up a good point. It's like, I don't want to say it's a business decision, but it is a business decision, right? Like how much are we going to see the ADAS calibrations right now? And how much is that technology going to change till then? So I believe when we were in the ADAS class, probably about a year ago, maybe 6 months, a year ago, they were saying they're aiming to make, and Justin, you're an expert on this. Tell me, you know, obviously correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not an expert on this part, but they're aiming to make all of the calibrations static. Isn't that the goal? So that you can do them in versus driving, which is kind of a dangerous, but or hard to do in Michigan in the winter when it's snowing and you got to go 52 miles an hour sideways and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Difficult to do that. So they're trying to make them static. So that's to your point, Bill. It's like, man, when do you really go all in on that type of equipment? I mean, to me, it's like, it just would make sense that the car would eventually, just for liability reasons, calibrate itself.
Yeah.
You know, sits in the driveway and does something, right? I don't know.
But I liken it to wheels. I mean, wouldn't life be great if everybody was driving around on 15-inch steel wheels?
Yeah.
Worried about scratching anything. It's easy to change the tires. All that stuff's wonderful. The idea of whether or not you have to calibrate them is, again, it's a very fluid situation. We've got manufacturers year after year right now where some models will switch to be self-calibrating, then they'll turn another one into you got to calibrate it, all of that kind of stuff, which honestly is a reason, just to plug this idea in there, that whoever you're doing alignments with, getting current specification updates for your software on your aligner really helps you stay ahead of that stuff because it's moving quickly. We see instances where there's a three-year-old vehicle that you used to recalibrate it this way. Now we're going to not calibrate it at all, or it's going to make something change there too. So there's a lot of that. But that idea of, like you said, we're definitely dealing with manufacturers. Tons of static calibrations going on, a lot of different stuff at the OEMs that they keep doing that. And the biggest part of it that you can't lose sight of is even the ones that calibrate themselves, quote unquote, after whatever, when you replace a component, they almost always have to be calibrated, you know, in a manual sense there, or the majority of them. So which that's still kind of a different situation as well. You know, all of these electric cars are going to get in accidents. So no matter how much the ADAS works, we're still going to have plenty of part replacement situations that it has to be involved.
And it doesn't even have to be alignment related. I mean, Jerry Trulia was here last week, right? We're talking about a vehicle that you pull headlights on a vehicle. You replace a headlight bulb, you pull a fascia off, you go put it back together again. Got to be calibrated. Who would have thought that? Right. What do you mean? I didn't touch the suspension. You don't have to. This is about sensors. You
know. What I like for us as an industry is that people are seeing this happen on television now, right? Safe Auto Windshield. I don't know what to do with name brands, but windshield replacement companies that have TV commercials on TV are educating our customers, whether or not everybody realizes that, to let them know, hey, this is something that does have to be recalibrated under certain circumstances. So that's helpful to us.
They say that they're going to put your advanced safety systems. They don't say ADAS, but they say advanced safety systems, which to me is an incredible sell piece that they're doing for the rest of the industry. And to your point, we should stop talking about ADAS and start talking about advanced safety systems and how critical they are to your vehicle.
Yeah.
I want to stop for just one moment. Nick from England. Nick is always on with us all the time. I so appreciate Nick. And I want to do some shows about auto repair in Europe. Nick, please reach out to me in Messenger. And I've tried to get a message out to Nick. I want to find out what's going on in the rest of the world, if it's as crazy as what we do here.
Our friend is world famous now, Joe. Just 7 years ago, he was just a local rock star. Now he's world famous.
That's right. He should.
But guys, this is such an important topic. And Bill, you brought it up. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh, what if something, we bump into a snow pile, you know, and we slide into a boom. And all of a sudden, the car doesn't seem to be doing the same stuff. I think it starts at our counter. Hey, this is the kind of vehicle you have. This is why you continue to come here. By the way, you've got all these incredible safety items. Please don't turn them off. Keep the buzzes and the bells and the whistles. Keep them on because it's going to make you safe. But please remember, like anything else on your vehicle, they may change. They may go out of spec. They may wear out. They may get bumped. And we're here and we can help you with all that stuff. I think those are the words we need to make sure our customers know, that this is a high-tech industry that we're in.
Oh, yeah. I was driving in monsoon weather in North Carolina today, and I noticed, because one of my favorite times to make sure that I'm using cruise control in that adaptive mode on my Prius is when it's raining a little bit, you know, because then it can seem to do, you know, it pays attention to things further out than even I do. And today, it was turned on, adaptive cruise control, to 3 car lengths out, or per 10 mile an hour, I think is kind of how that's calculated. And I was going to rear end people. I had to pay attention. You know, we've heard stories of some of these cars doing some strange things that are supposed to be autonomous. Not only is the calibration super important, but the users, yeah, we got to pay attention to these things as well, that you are also responsible.
Justin, you bring up such a great point. We rely, there's much less skill set in today's driver than ever before because the vehicle purportedly does more than it ever did before. And so as the skill set of the driver keeps degrading, almost like muscle, what would they call that? Muscle atrophy. As a result of not being able to drive your vehicle in analog mode, if you will.
Right.
Is it any wonder the less skilled the driver is becoming, the more of our help, the more of our guidance, our professional guidance is required? And again, I go back to this, Joe. I don't know if we can just allow the wild, wild west, to have a guy that's got a bubble balancer for a tire shop out in the middle of, you know, in our area, to pretend that they do tire balancing any more than they've got a couple of laser pens with some string, pretending that they're going to do alignments. Those people, and I know it's outside of our purview, I know this isn't something we're going to change today, but we have to become more professional. There has to be certification where you are a certified ADAS calibration technician. There has to be another level where if this is too dangerous to be screwing around with here. People can die much more. You wouldn't even, like, a wheel falls off the car and it's obvious. A vehicle steers off the road and flips three or four times over. How do you know that was ADAS? I mean, I don't know if the insurance industry is as sophisticated as being able to go back and say, okay, we're going to pull a, I don't know, Carfax report. We're going to see who did this work. And sure enough, there's an alignment that was done on this vehicle at Mickey Mouse Automotive. And it looks like it was, they charged $39.95. Clearly, they didn't set the steering angle sensor. And this may be contributing to this here. When are we finally going to have enough of that nonsense?
I think it'll self-correct a little bit. And what I mean by that, when we talk about educating other shops and whatnot, I think that today's workforce coming into our industry, they demand a higher standard. Whether they realize it or not, they expect to be working in nice environments, it seems. They expect to have an organized workplace to work at. They expect benefits. They expect. And I don't think it was that way when my dad started the business. It was just like, get here and work. Right. And I don't know, we'll figure out how to charge. We'll figure out. That wasn't the thing, right? It wasn't working conditions. So Bill, when you say, I think you brought it up in your notes, you know, these other shops, how are they going to afford this type of equipment? How are they going to be able to make it? I don't think they will, because they're not going to be able to hire the people to take care of their customers like we're going to be able to do. Not that we're any better. I just think we've been educated in a way, and we're fortunate of that, to know what's coming. And that's going to afford us the right to hire and the ability to hire some talent that we can afford to pay that will take us to that next level and keep us moving. Those other shops that don't adapt to the equipment like Justin's selling and whatnot and make those investments, the people aren't going to want to work there. I firmly believe that. They're going to die not of knowledge of the cars. They're just not going to, because they don't have the knowledge, they're just not going to have the help, because they're not going to be able to hire people because they don't have shops that are at that next level, which is now going to be the norm.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let me make a comment on something that Bill Connor, he brought up. I think, is this the right one? How a vehicle is equipped has to be available at the counter and preferred in the POS. Why not, in our POS, get a couple of drop-in keys that says your car is equipped with the latest advanced equipment and it may require, and but we're the place to make sure that we can maintain the integrity of that system. Bill, to your point, and what we need to do as our industry and educating our clients, this is a great takeaway for the whole industry.
That's really it in a nutshell. That if we get anything out of this episode, is that it's time to grow out of the two-wheel alignment business. And I'm astonished in 2023. We still have folks calling, you know, how much for a front-end alignment? How much for... And like, where did you get this? And some of them aren't, by the way, some of them aren't like baby boomers and Gen Xers. Some of them get this information from other shops that say, well, yeah, we advertise a front-end alignment on a vehicle. And all you have to do is ask the question to that customer, say, by the way, how many wheels do you have on your vehicle? What do you think an alignment is? Alignment is getting that vehicle to roll down the road with the minimal amount of resistance possible. What does it look like when we only do two of those? Have you gone to a store and had a shopping cart that was sort of doing that? What is it like? You trade it in, you take it, and you go grab another shopping cart because it's utterly unusable.
So that's a really good connection there. So you don't call, when customers call, you don't call them back and say, you need a four-wheel alignment?
We explain to them our superior Hunter engineering alignment equipment can only do a four-wheel alignment because that's the only right way to do things. Joe and I, we help out hundreds of shops. I talk to anybody and everybody. I lived for that. But there's times, and today I'm just frustrated. Today I'm sort of in a different mood. And it's one of those things where it's like, damn it. Either you get with the program and you become professional so that I don't have to undo your damage on the phone, so that I don't have to walk that customer that you just talked to off the phone, off the ledge. Either we do that, or we don't really have an industry that by and large people are going to respect, like the AMA. Doctors wouldn't do this kind of stuff in an industry like that. And by the way, in case you think I'm looking up to doctors, I think we do much more difficult stuff than doctors do. We work on way more models than they do. Joe's shop and my shop, we work on everything from a Geo Metro all the way up to a Freightliner medium-duty truck. What doctor does that? What single doctor does that?
We're doing a boat today, too.
There you go. It's Joe's fault.
Guys, I got to tell you, it was John DeJulius who just always inspires me in his teachings of customer experience. And you need to put up a sign, guys. And it says, we fix 3995 alignments. We fix 1995 oil changes. And we fix 5995 in quotes tune-ups. In essence, that's what you need to start telling people. We're the professionals.
Yeah. The stories that we are all beginning to hear of a vehicle that swerved crazy out of something, you know, beyond the driver's control. ADAS sensors may be pointed in the oncoming lane, so brakes get slammed on when it's not actually an emergency. The stories of those things actually happening, or a truck that got lifted 7 inches yeah. or whatever and comes to a halt driving down the interstate because its whole system freaks out and says, I got nothing, I don't know what to do. That stuff's very real. And I think we're all mm-hmm. starting to hear some of that, right? And so kind of like Joe was saying, the shops that are not doing it right, the demand for the technicians, all of these things are going to combine in such a way that the vast majority of people who aren't complying with what they need to do, it will fade out, right? Because it's going to be a combination of older technicians retiring, shop owners discontinuing the business because there's nobody to take over. So it's going to change. There'll always be some subset that is going to be working at the bottom, of course, and more power to them. But it is going to be interesting watching what we have to do. Yes, technicians. So I want to circle back real fast to one thing Carm talked about real early on about training. What I see is shop owners who are extraordinarily busy right now because we have more than enough demand for everybody to be doing just fine. They're so busy that they're afraid to send a technician to training because they can't operate without that technician, which makes their business get further and further behind if they don't send that technician to training, which makes their business look more like a chaotic circus, which means they don't do online marketing because they're so busy, they're terrified of doing more online marketing. And then the fact that they're not doing online marketing, when they are trying to hire younger people who grew up all on social media, try to search for that company on social media, they don't see anything posted since last April, and then they don't even apply for the job because it looks like the place is dying out, right?
That's a perfect example.
There's a problem that we are creating for ourselves in the industry that I'm seeing shop owners do a lot of that. So Sue talked about education on here a few minutes ago in the notes. And it's we hear it all the time. You know, people are afraid to train their technicians because maybe the technicians will leave them. And the bigger fear is not training your technicians and they stick around.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's scarcity thinking too, though, that, you know, when they do that. And this is why you're seeing a shift too. And this was, I can't remember who it was. I think it was a Napa thing I was at. And this is why you're seeing a shift into multi-shop ownership now too. Because to your point, Justin, it's very difficult in a two or three person shop to send one guy or two guys or gals to training and cut your production 30%, 33% in a week. Right. And then add that cost onto the cost of sending them for training, in addition to all those fears that you just explained, it's hard. And that's why this is another reason you're seeing a shift into growing bigger and bigger as shop owners. And I'm sure you're seeing that too. You're seeing multi-shop and it's almost easier that way because you have the resources to move people around if you need to get that training. It sounds crazy, but it's the reality.
All right, here's my opinion. I have a three-person technician team, and Joe, to your point, I want to send two. How about just sending one? And when you send just one, and you send him not just once a year, but you send him a couple of times a year, add the vacation. Ever send someone on vacation, but yet you didn't miss a beat, and it all worked, and people pitched in and got it done because they knew that they were going to go to training the next time, or they were going on vacation in 3 or 4 weeks. And I think if the culture is right about education and that the need that we have in our industry, that every single day something is passing us by if we don't stop that train and get on. So listen, every time we talk about something like that, it gives somebody an excuse not to do training. And I don't want that. I want someone to dig down deep inside and figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, there's shops that shut down for a week and send their whole crew.
Yes, they do.
And they've been doing that for 20 years. And you know what? Ironically, they're shops that are always busy.
They're the top shops.
They're still in business. They're still making money. I mean, it's just, it literally, I've seen them shut down a week. It's like, wow.
I want to tease the audience with something. I have had this chart from Joe stacked up. Go to episode 303. And Joe explains this in detail, all about the ROI that he has on his your alignment machine. What's it called again?
The Hunter Lane Check.
Yeah, the Lane Check. And I got to tell you guys, they just nailed it. The team that we had on before. And I just want you to go there and I want you to look at this and take a look at this. So Joe's not going to get into it too deep, but he has a 1 year return on investment by spending 50 grand on Lane Check. It's better than your 1, 2, 3, 4 YF bill.
Yeah, absolutely.
We go into great detail in episode 303, 20 weeks ago. So go to my website, type in 303 or Joe Hansen, and it'll come up. But please spend some time there. Guys, let's go around the room. This was incredible. I loved the feedback that we got. There was so much incredible input that I think we received, or high fives for all the great stuff that you guys did. We'll do Bill, Joe, and Justin. Bill, any last words?
So a full circle moment for me is, you know, now that we've lathered up Justin in his love language, we've mentioned Hunter Engineering, I don't know, a dozen times.
Leather.
Now that we've been speaking his love language, again, I say this with all due respect, this is why I have Hunter Engineering as my supplier of alignment equipment, not just because of the equipment, but because of the service. Bob Keyes, who's our local rep, has been here 25 years. This is somebody who doesn't just know that I've been around for 30 years, but knows the kind of people that we are, that I'm not wasting his time when I call him, when I need him for something. As important as my relationship is to my customers, when my customers call me, it's the same level of respect and acknowledgement of what it is that I bring to them. And sometimes the things that I do for free for my customer is more valuable than the things that we charge for. Justin, you do plenty of that for your customers. And so on behalf of shop owners all around the country, I want to thank you for Hunter Engineering doing what you guys do. I really, really appreciate that.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, thanks so much.
I would just say, you know, if we're going to be around in the future and this industry is going to be continually evolving, we got to think in a forward direction. And what I mean by that is, you know, we got to embrace this technology. We need to make a decision to be excited about it. We need to make a decision to use it in every way possible, including recruitment. I think that this ever-changing technology will be, as much as it scares people, I think it's going to be what propels and brings new young talent into the industry, because they can see cool new stuff. And whether it's the advanced safety systems or the way that it's a lane check machine you go through and there's lasers that check your alignment in 30 seconds. I mean, that is just cool. And I think that we really just need to embrace that, make the investments in the future, educate our frontline people, our advisors, as owners, be educated so that we can hire the right people and just take total advantage of this change that's here right now, but coming, and it keeps coming faster and faster.
Thank you, Joe. I love what you said. Let's embrace the technology that's coming, but let's embrace the equipment that helps you fix and what's the word I'm looking for? Just maintain it. I think the word is repair, probably. But Justin, last word to you.
Yeah, last words for me. Just love your people. And that's two categories of people, right? It's your employees, people that work for you, that you know that if you can put them in a position where they have the right information to take good care of people, and then they've got access to the right equipment. I'm not talking about brand names. You guys are wonderful. And thank you for speaking my love language there, Bill. But make sure they've got access to the right equipment. And maybe that means someone across town has the right equipment and you send the stuff to them. Just put your people in a position where they feel like they're getting the work done appropriately so that they can sleep well at night also, right? So take care of your people in-house that way. And love the people walking in your door, man. I mean, we all still know they don't have to come to your shop. Find ways to encourage them, educate them, and help them feel like they're an important part of your business as well, because obviously we know that they are. So,
amen.
Wow. Thank you so much, Joe Hansen, Gordy's, three locations, Roseville, Michigan, Justin Allen from Hunter Engineering, Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan. Guys, great discussion. Thank you so much. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our audience did too. Please share this on YouTube and Facebook and LinkedIn. Appreciate you all being here.
Thanks, Carm.
Happy Easter, everyone.
See ya.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.